There is a mysterious ritual that dates back thousands of years. No living creature has survived it, except the penguin. They have wings, but cannot fly. They're birds that think they're fish. And every year, they embark on a nearly impossible journey to find a mate. For 20 days and 20 nights, the emperor penguin will march to a place so extreme, it supports no other life.
Yeah, I mean, that was about emperor penguins, but I could not play March of the Penguins. I imagine most of us have seen March of the Penguins at some point, because it is a spectacular documentary. I actually, one of the most fun stories I ever got to do while I was based in London was going to the London Zoo one year. They called me from the London Zoo and say, hey, would you like to come and see the penguin weigh-in this year? They're getting their annual checkups. I'm like, yes, I'll be there. So we show up there. Of course, I mean, they're great looking, right? What I didn't realize is we left our sort of kit bags on the ground, and the penguins were over there taking it apart in a nanosecond. And the handler's like, yeah, they're curious. I'm like, no kidding. Anyway, they were great to see. So I always had a big love of penguins, and you know, March of the Penguins was part of it. This is a really interesting penguin story. I spotted it last week. I was just reading around and thought, wow, that's so cool. Imagine if you spent your night sleeping 4 seconds at a time. Just picture that, 4 seconds at a time. The time it took me to say that, you're back awake again, and now you're back asleep again, and now you're back awake again. Sounds awful, right? But that's exactly what one breed of penguin, not the emperor, one breed of penguin does. New research shows that chinstrap penguins fall asleep something like 10,000 times a day. Scientists studying the birds on Antarctica's King George Island found that they nod off every few seconds to allow them to keep watch. So they have to be both rested and vigilant, right? So how do you do both at once when the threats are constant? Well, you sleep a little bit, you wake up a little bit, I guess. And that could mean a cumulative 11 hours of sleep per day without ever actually falling into an uninterrupted snooze. And again, it's just a reminder of how much more complex and varied and situational sleep can be. I mean, we think of sleep as sort of getting your 8 hours, turning off the, you know, we're quite routine that way if you're lucky. But for lots of other creatures, they don't have that luxury, right? You can't sleep like that. Christian Harding is a postdoctoral scholar in the Division of Pulmonary Critical Care, Sleep Medicine and Physiology at UC San Diego Health. He's also co-author of a recent article in Science about the sleeping habits of the chinstrap. Christian, thank you so much.
Hi there. Nice to meet you.
This was and you as well. This is a remarkable. I mean, I was fascinated by this research, and just how it measured their sleep habits. I guess the really remarkable thing here is just measuring a chinstrap sleep habits given where they live.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing work that they did. So there's been more and more work recently to try and devise better ways of measuring sleep in the wild. It's still something we're really learning how to do. And they really, really perfected this work of getting these EEGs, which is an electroencephalogram. It's a way of measuring the electrical activity in the brain of animals, and managing to actually get these on these animals in the wild over a period of time. It was really novel and gave us this fantastic data.
Tell me about the data, too, because it makes for the most incredible headline, the idea of the micro nap, the 4 second nap. And how, because I think for any human being, it sounds awful, right? But clearly it works for the chinstrap.
Yeah. I mean, as you mentioned previously, sleep is incredibly diverse. Like you say, we have what you might call monophasic sleep. So we have this long period of sleep throughout the night. That's actually quite rare in the animal kingdom. Polyphasic sleep, shorter bouts, is more common in animals. But when I say shorter, I'm talking about, you know, minutes, not seconds. So it's really amazing that they found these 4 second periods of sleep. And yeah, if you think of micro sleeps as being something that the penguins do, there's actually something that humans might be able to do as well. So if you keep people awake for a long period of time, if you sleep deprive them, even humans will get more and more of these tiny little micro sleeps during the day, the more you sleep deprive people. But we don't think this is something that, you know, might be particularly good for us or to keep doing for a long time. Whereas these penguins seem to be able to do this as their only form of sleep for a long period of time, and yet they're still able to breed and be successful in many ways. So clearly this is something that they have evolved to deal with, and they can manage perfectly fine on these 4 second periods of sleep.
Yeah. Physiologically, I guess this might be a complicated question, but physiologically, what's going on? How are they able to do this? I mean, and we could talk about the whys, which I think people might be able to predict, but what's happening? How are they able to survive on that kind of sleep?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think the important word there is survive. We know that they're surviving. We don't know that they're thriving. So lots of other animals will sleep for very short periods of time, but not as short as this. The way that they know that they were able to survive was because they were being able to breed and they were surviving throughout this period of the recording. But obviously we can't ask a penguin, you know, how are you doing? Are you tired? Can you keep up? are you feeling terrible? So potentially the microsleeps might not be the best way to sleep. Further follow-up studies need to be done to understand whether they're paying a cost to sleeping in this fashion rather than having longer periods of sleep.
The why, I think, is pretty straightforward, I suppose, but this is just, I suppose if they could sleep 8 straight, they would, but they can't because of the environment they're in, and, you know, they have things to protect, and their predators are, or those that would attack their nests and so on, are, you know, who knows when they're sleeping, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one of the ideas behind why they're having this strange sleep pattern. That there's been evidence from birds previously that if you look in big groups of birds, that and depending on where you are within the group, you sleep more or less, which is related to maybe the chance of predators getting at you, and you wanting to be vigilant during this time. And if you look at the videos that they took of these animals, it really does it like they're opening their eyes and closing them all the time and allowing them to be vigilant. But even that, we need to do some more work. I mean, lots of other animals are constantly under threat of predation and don't have this specific sleeping pattern. So we still haven't found exactly what is specific to the way that they live their lives that they really benefit from this particularly short sleeping habit.
Is it situational? Does it change throughout the year for them depending on what's happening?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So this study was in the breeding season. So these were animals that were looking out for their eggs. They currently haven't shown us the data from the rest of the year. So that's another thing. It'll be fascinating to see whether this is something that they can change between on a seasonal basis, or whether this is something that they're doing all throughout the year. I think that's the question that we're going to be really interested to see based on hopefully data that's going to come out in the future.
I guess what's, and you've already touched on this, Christian, what's really interesting about these microsleeps and the fact that they can sleep 4 seconds at a time, 10,000 times a day for a cumulative of about, you know, 11 hours or so, is that it really starts to change our idea of what sleep does and what it's for and what kind of impact sleep can have on your ability to function, right? I mean, it opens up a pretty, I know it was already opened up, but this opens up an even wider set of possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the most fascinating things about sleep is the variation that you see across the animal kingdom. I mean, we know we need to sleep. If you don't sleep, you feel terrible and eventually you die. So we know it's incredibly important. And yet some animals can deal with just a few hours of sleep a day. And some, for example, bats and sloths quoted as sleeping, you know, most of the day or up to 20 hours a day, some people have suggested. So we are very interested in finding out what explains that variation and what requires some animals to sleep more than others. And I think that's one of the great reasons that we need to do more work actually on in different animals and strange animals, especially in the wild, where the variation in sleeping behavior has actually evolved. And if we can understand that variation, that'll help us to understand what functions of sleep are really important for explaining this variation in sleep time.
Yeah, what fascinates you most about that? Because I guess there's sort of, we'll know more about the health of a species if their sleep patterns are changing, for instance, I suppose, if they're under threat. But also there may be a whole bunch of stuff that we can learn by knowing more about. It's funny that we haven't studied it more before. I guess it's been really hard to study animals in the wild and how they sleep. But I imagine there's a whole bunch of things we could figure out from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you say, one of the biggest problems has been actually getting the technology to be able to do this and to have this equipment on animals out in the wild for long periods of time. But yeah, there are many questions that are remaining in the field of sleep that we've struggled to find answers for. Maybe those answers are out in nature. For example, learning and memory, that's one thing that we think sleep is very important for us, for consolidating memories overnight. And it's really interesting to think that if we require this length of time to consolidate memories, can an animal that only sleeps 2 hours a night or 3 hours a night consolidate memories just as effectively? And if that's the case, why does it take us so long to do this? Another interesting thing is our health. So we know, for example, that the immune system, immune function is tied to sleep. So do we need to sleep a certain amount of time for us to be healthy? How come other animals that can do this so effectively with much shorter amount of time? We really want to understand this variation to, again, like I say, understand what the functions of sleep are in the animal kingdom.
Yeah, because I imagine so many different animals have just adapted over the years to being able to survive, hunt, eat, avoid predation, and sleep because it's so essential to them. But none of them, not many of them, I mean, I guess not all of them have the luxury of being able to grab 8 hours of shut-eye, right? They just don't. I mean, there's some great advice. I mean, obviously, I suspect you've read the same Guardian article that I found wound up in and talking about African bush elephants sleeping for 2 hours a day, mostly while standing up. And, you know, and other big differences between sexes. Male fruit flies need 10 hours a day. Females are fine on four. I mean, sleep is a fascinating topic when it comes to us and the animal kingdom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one of the strongest relationships is actually is diet. So if you think of predators versus prey, predators tend to sleep a lot longer than the prey do. And that's because they're less worried about what's going to come around the corner and eat them. Something as basic as that dictates sleep time. And yet we still need those animals that really are under threat still need that sleep, which just tells you just how important sleep is to all animal life.
Yeah, I get the impressions lions don't do without sleep much. What would you do now with you mentioned already that this data came out of breeding season. You mentioned that it would be nice to find out what the chinstrap does outside of that critical part of the year for them.
Yeah, that's true. So, but Paul-Antoine Lebrel and his team who collected this data, they have these devices now that they can use, and they can take these out on penguins and the rest of the year and all sorts of other animals. Hopefully this watch this space and there'll be more data to come and answer some of those questions that have come from this incredibly exciting study.
Yeah, I guess the main one you're looking for is just to see if there's any difference between those 10,000 microsleeps at that time of year versus other times of year, whether their sleeping patterns change. And that would be interesting, too, to figure out if their sleeping patterns change depending on the time of the year, as it does with some with flying birds, right, who obviously go for long periods of time without sleeping, then make it up when they land.
Correct, yeah, and whether there's some sort of rebound. So if the penguins are having to do this during one part of the year, do they need to catch up later in the year? And to maybe fulfill some of the functions that they weren't getting earlier on. We don't know how long sleep rebound effects can last for. We know that, you know, over a day, if you sleep deprive someone one day, they sleep more the next day. But we don't know if you sleep deprive them, you know, for 3 months, are they going to sleep more in the 3 months after that? So this example, it could be a really good example of a long-term kind of sleep change being enforced by the environment. How do these animals then cope with that in the following period of the year? And that'll be fascinating, right. And a really important example that we just can't recreate in the lab and totally reliant on wild data for this, which is why wild sleep studies are so important.
The last thing that I was going to ask you about is I was at the London Zoo years ago doing their penguin weigh-in, which was pretty fascinating. And one of the theories about why they do these microsleeps is that it's so loud in a group of large, because they hang out together and they're in such large groups, they can't sleep. It's too noisy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, social sleeping is something that I've been interested in and have worked in before. There's two sides of it, as they write in the paper. One is you're in a big group, so maybe you're safer and you sleep more. But on the other side, you've got people making noise and you've got maybe other penguins coming past and disrupting you and maybe wanting to take your egg. So you're constantly under those other pressures, even in humans. The studies that show some people sleep better without their bed partner than they do when they're there, because they're also being disrupted during sleep as well. So I think the social side of sleep is something that we really don't know enough about. And hopefully this is one of the studies that we can start looking into this.
No, oh, you might open up a can of worms if you get into that one, Christian, about humans and their sleeping partners. Thank you so much for taking the time tonight. It's a fascinating study. Thanks so much for shedding some light on what it all means.
Yeah, great to be on. Thank you.
Hey, it's Alan Cross, and have I got a story for you. In my new one-of-a-kind true crime podcast, Uncharted, Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry, I take you inside unbelievable stories from murder to fatal plane crashes to court battles and even run-ins with the mob. You'll hear about the dark side of the world of music. Search for and follow Uncharted, Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.